football on off the ball.
We've always believed within this team, and look, we've learned the hard way sometimes. But look, we've got ourselves here, so we're focused on going out and, you know, making it a really competitive game, and hopefully we can come out on top.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Here's Keith Tracy. Keith, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. How are we?
And Nicole, good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron.
We do have a stacked and packed show. We're going to talk, obviously, a lot of Stephen Doyle is going to be with us in about 15 minutes' time as well, live from Grenoble, as we look ahead to tonight's game, France versus Ireland, which I understand from reading Gavin Cooney in the Irish Times this morning ate up a whole 0 words in L'Équipe yesterday, which give you an idea as to the appetite as to what's going on there. Obviously, they're looking ahead to the Men's World Cup, but we'll get Stephen's impressions of all of that. It's a vital game, obviously, all on the line, and it's certainly not win or bust. Obviously, if they win the thing, we're straight through to the World Cup. If we draw or lose, we'll get what's been described as a favourable playoff against a team that we should have the better of, basically, in a semi-final, 2 legs into a final. I think that's 2 legs as well. So, not home and holes, bit of work to be done.
A bit of work to be done. The French are obviously very, very good in the women's game also. I thought they were brilliant against the Dutch. The fighting qualities and talent that were on display were absolutely brilliant. And I was saying to JD on Sunday, on the Sunday show, that I think the qualities the women have shown in the Ireland jersey, the never say die attitude, putting bodies on the line. And don't get me wrong, there's little sprinkles of quality in there as well that I really like with this Carla Ward's squad. So, yeah, really happy. My head is telling me that the French game may be a bridge too far, I have to be honest, but I think the girls have earned the right to, you know, I don't think anybody's writing them off, but I think they've earned the right to go, they have a chance in there, because they've upset the odds so often now and done so well that I wouldn't say I'd be shocked if they went and beat the French or got something there, but make no mistake about it, it's a big mountain they've got to climb.
Logic suggests that it will be France. Yeah. That sort of a game you go and you sit back for 70 minutes and then try a smash and grab.
Ideally, yeah. You get them, hopefully the French get into a rhythm where it's all a little bit easy-ozy and it's left to right and not an awful lot of penetration. And then you get to the magic number and all of a sudden you start throwing the kitchen sink. And believe me, a lot of people think, oh, well, if Ireland are going to do that and the French know it's coming, they'll just raise their levels in the 75th minute and match Ireland. It's very difficult to do that when you've been one pace for so long. And, you know, I know I'm ifs, buts and maybes here, but if you can get the French into a rhythm where they're comfortable and then all of a sudden go hell for leather, very, very difficult to go against that type of current. So that's what the Irish, I imagine, will be trying to spring. And yeah, let's fingers and toes crossed.
Yeah, we'll see. It's definitely got that vibe of this sort of like one-off, all the photographs, the interviews over the last little while. Like a lot of this squad obviously have played at the World Cup, so it'd be difficult to say that it's the most important game they've ever played. But, footballers always give you that cliche, but the next game's the most important one, even when it's, whatever. But this one definitely has that vibe about it. Has been just a really big night in Irish football. Most important games you ever played in your career?
Honestly, when you're playing, every game feels absolutely huge. I mean, I made my debut for Ireland against Argentina. It was only a friendly, but at the time, it's the biggest game when Trapattoni.
What age were you?
I think I was 20 or 21. I was still fairly young. And that Irish team that I was coming into was a stacked Irish team with all the legends still knocking around. So when Trapattoni turned and said, Keith, you're coming on for the last 15 minutes in a friendly against Argentina, you better believe at that moment in time that was the biggest game of my career. Although looking back, it was a friendly and, you know, everything else. But
oh, amazing. Who did you come on for?
I came on for Keith Fatty, and as Keith was coming off, Lionel Messi came off as well. So it broke my heart a little bit when I was standing on the line and I looked and seeing the Argentinian boy standing with me. I thought, I wonder who was coming off, and it was Leo, I thought. Yeah, but I tend not to correct people. When you say, oh, you played against Messi, I go, yeah, I did, yeah. But no, not quite the case. But I played against when I went on loan to Sheffield Wednesday in League One, we were second in the league. I scored a goal against Brentford, and we had Wickham at home, and we had to win that game. Sheffield United were kicking off at the same time, and if we beat Wickham at home in Hillsborough, we were promoted to the Championship, and Sheffield United, no matter what they did, couldn't catch us. That had a real huge, huge feel to it. And I know people are probably saying League One, there was 40,000 people there 3 hours before kickoff. Oof. With, you know, Lilo's, beach balls, police escorts. It had everything you need to want to make it feel like a big game. And about 15 minutes in, Michael Antonio put his 1-0 up and ragdoll Gary Doherty a bit around the place a little bit. And yeah, as soon as the ball hit the back of the net with that first goal, it was party time. And you just got the feeling we were never, ever going to lose. And there was one for Burnley as well, and I was on the bench for this one. I never got to come on, but Burnley were playing Wigan and Turf Moor. We had to win that, and if we won that, we were mathematically into the Premier League. We won that, but I never got to come off the bench and just felt a little bit moody throughout, so that's probably why it doesn't come directly to me mind.
How hard is it to manage when you're sat on the sideline going, I just want to get on here, and it ain't happening, but like, it's party mood for everybody else?
Yeah, it's party mood for everybody else. Everybody's jumping around, and it's like, I played 38 games this season that Burnley got promoted, nowhere near all starts. I think only 11 of them were starts, but there was an awful lot of trust. I mean, we'd play QPR at home and QPR away, and they're the type of games that Dyche would throw me in. And I thought, well, I'm a bit of a free spirit on the left wing. I didn't think he'd fancy me, but somehow he did fancy me in those big games. I think he thought my work rate was all right defensively, and I would come up with something. So I did have I played a decent part in it, but when the chips are down and you've got to win, and that's the game that's seen as getting your promotion, if you're not involved, you just feel like a spare shin guards on the sideline, just don't really feel involved in it whatsoever. So yeah, really moody throughout that one.
Your memory for stuff, I've said this before we came in here, but your memory for games is off the charts.
Yeah, I lean on Google quite a lot.
Well, we threw that at you before, and you were like straight away, and you had loads of detail about it. And
have you seen the guy HMRC receipts on Twitter? So it's this guy, basically he goes through old podcasts with Premier League players, former Premier League players, former Premier League managers, who often tell stories and get things wildly wrong.
Dean Saunders would tend to feature quite a bit.
Yeah, so he basically goes through them and does the math and looks through the games that they're referencing, and said sometimes it's like, they never played against Messi.
Yeah.
Or they never played against
come,
this.
Come to the stage, Keith Tracy, would be what he'd say.
But there is actually a phenomenon of this where players are involved in so many games that sometimes they do just get things wrong based on just weird collective memory that they think they were involved in this,
yeah,
but they weren't. And
yeah. Or they have the wrong ear for a club.
Exactly,
or,
yeah.
Well, to be fair, all my stories should come with that caveat. All the things that I say have happened, Might not have happened in the order I say, but they've definitely happened. My memory wouldn't be the best, but these things have definitely happened. Possibly not in the order I'm proclaiming.
I don't know about that. 0879 180 180, by the way, if you want to leave a comment for us, you can do that on YouTube as well. Tweet us at Off The Ball. So loads to come. As I said, Stephen Doyle will be with us shortly, but it's showing a difference. And
it's a big World Cup show, as you might have noticed from the lineup that we've got. We've got World Cup fever in Off The Ball Towers today. And we're going to do the Off The Ball sweepstakes live on air today. So every time you hear this sound,
it's a little unfair, you know. But they have no right to be doing what they're doing.
Not that sound.
The other one. Is there another?
Trust
one?
Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
Oh no, the Trump one. It was in my wrong ear. Sorry.
Ah, there we go.
So every time you hear Trump,
today,
I'm going to pull out this hat.
Nice.
The off the ball hat.
Off the ball bucket
hat. And inside
hat,
this, we have the top seeded sides, so the top 24 sides, and in this bowl.
Oh wow, this
the bowl
is
of shame.
No expense spared here, Andy.
I know.
Hasn't he got all of this?
The bottom 24.
The cereal bowl and the off the ball bucket hat. Yeah,
exactly.
And you're going to draw this yourself. So
I'm going to draw this myself.
Nothing fishy can happen here.
No, I'll keep. Like, I don't know if I have to go above my laptop.
Oh,
like,
you know,
this.
I'd suggest like let people actually see what you know. Do you remember that draw a few months ago? The GA lad who was like, "Oh, there's my ticket that has come out of this hat." It feels like. And suddenly lands himself France and Spain here.
Might do.
So you have one seeded pot.
One seeded pot, one unseeded pots.
Yeah.
Done by the FIFA rankings.
Okay.
So there are actually some rogue sides in the top 24 based on the FIFA rankings. Okay. So the USA, for example, are in the top 24 sides.
Okay.
So somebody could be getting them as their top team.
So
Keith is involved as well.
I was going to say that has Keith Tracy written all over the USA. Yeah.
Will we do the first couple of names? Will we draw?
Do you first? It's a right. We're doing it that way. Fiverr in. I mean, if you were doing this fully transparently, you would put all the names in a third pot. If we were going full Gianni Infantino on this,
right?
Thing.
So everyone can see I'm not looking.
So you're going for mine first.
So this is you,
right?
All right. You might be happy.
Oh, I will take that as a seeded team.
Adrian Barry gets Brazil as his.
I think we'll from here on out call them Carlo Ancelotti's Brazil. I'd much rather that.
Well, we'll be talking about them with Tim Vickery and
Don Carlo. What do you think?
Very good.
Where would you put them?
They'd be there or thereabouts. I think the climate will help Brazil heavily, but
and it's a World Cup.
They're a long way from Roberto Carlos and Cafu. They're a long way, but the spine is brilliant, the midfielders are brilliant, the attack is unbelievable, but I worry about them out of possession.
Igor Thiago is going to get golden boot. He's going to win the golden boot, the golden ball. Could even be goalkeeper.
I think you have a chance, and I think Ancelotti brings Brazil a lot closer to winning it.
This is Keith Tracy's.
Ooh.
It's a little unfair, you know, but they have no right to be doing what they're doing.
There's Trump again. Belgium.
You'd have to be happy with that. No.
Nah. Maybe 10 years ago you might be happy with that.
Do you know, I have them down as one of the flops of the tournament.
Oh, wow.
I think they're going to go in and just be Belgium, not do very much.
Do they not have like enough individual quality that if some of that starts to shine through that you just never know? Are they not one of those teams?
I think they're a team of individuals, to be honest. I think they've decent individuals. Doku is probably, you know, one of the very good wingers at the minute, but I think they've had better teams over the last 10 years and they haven't done it, and that team doesn't stand up to the so-called golden generation. So if you didn't do it with them, I can't see them doing any better.
Would you like them to redraw your team?
I would, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I've just drawn my own team, if I get a bad team here,
nobody can complain.
I'm not unhappy. I'm not fully happy. Morocco.
Oh, I'd be really pissed off if I were you.
Really? Do you think they're going to flop?
In terms of the three of those teams that are out, that have been drawn, I'm afraid, Enda, you're surely bottom of that pile.
I don't know. I think Morocco have a decent chance.
Of winning the World Cup?
I think you'll get your money's worth. I think you'll get quarters or semis out of them.
At least all you want is your team to be deep into the tournament.
Are you seeing what odds there?
No, I'm typing it into the spreadsheet so I don't forget who everyone got.
Okay.
All right, will we do our unseeded really
quickly? I'll go for it, Jack. Right, yeah,
unseeded
absolutely.
Teams. So these are.
So
I mean,
give us a flavour of who'd be a good unseeded couple of unseeded teams to get.
I honestly forget.
Okay, they're that shit. He can't even remember.
All right, Adrian Barry's so unseeded team. Jordan.
Oh yeah. I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. I can't say much more than that. Very good.
All right.
What
let's
else
do
we got?
Really quickly. Uzbekistan for Keith.
Oh, Jesus.
This is unseeded team. No, I should say, with the unseeded team, there is a wooden spoon. So if
So you actually want somebody who's really brutal. Well, I think we've both probably lucked out with that.
So out of my two teams, Uzbekistan is my best bet of getting something back. Brilliant.
And then finally, mine is Haiti.
Yeah, they have a good chance of finishing
that.
Rock bottom. Will we bring in Stephen Doyle and
make
his draws while we're at it?
Yeah.
Stephen Doyle from Grenoble, come on in. Bon matin.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Bon matin, Steve-o.
Sorry. John, I'm finding I'm using quite a lot of Spanish here.
Well, you're not too far, in fairness, but not exactly the right time.
You know, when you're overseas and you're trying to use the local language and you get confused and you start using different foreign languages. And
happens
like
to me
that.
in Fibsborough, Steve-o, all the time.
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't it?
Right, so listen, you're here and Enda's doing the draw and you're in the hat, so he's going to go for your... You've got a seated and unseated.
You might get some use of your French here, Steve-o. Switzerland.
C'est magnifique.
How do you feel about that? Not a bad draw.
Yeah, they're always one of those meh teams, aren't they? Switzerland. I mean,
they're a staple of any tournament that do nothing most of the time.
You could stick them in a kind of surprise. They might do half well.
He might be a controversial man for actually being happy with this, but his unseeded team is Czechia.
Oh, well, yeah. I can't really get behind Czechia, can I?
Do you want your money back?
I haven't paid my money yet.
Is it too late? Okay, well, don't bother doing that, Steve-O.
That was a mistake on my behalf, doing the draw before people have paid me.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Handing over your fiver for something he knows, a stinking pile of the bad stuff. Not good news. Come here, I was reading Gavin Cooney in the Irish Times this morning about the game tonight, Stephen, and he was talking about the fact that there wasn't a word of a mention of it in L'Équipe. I presume there's some sort of buzz around Grenoble for the game this evening.
There's not really, to be honest. Right. I've kind of been walking around the city the last couple of days and you'd really struggle to know that there was a game on. But from what I'm told, especially with the French women's team's games, you can find that when these matches are on, it's quite quiet in the build-up. But then all of a sudden, you get inside the stadium on match night and there's like 20,000 absolutely ecstatic, roaring fans. So I would imagine by the time we get to kick off tonight on our commentary on Off the Ball, I think we might have a bit of a buzz and a bit of an atmosphere. Unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be many Irish fans there. We're told maybe somewhere between 30 and 50. I haven't even spotted any Irish. I was looking around for Irish supporters yesterday around the city and I didn't happen to run into any. But look, it's kind of awkward, I suppose, for Irish supporters, because when the group was drawn, you're kind of looking at the group and you're thinking realistically, where is this Irish team going to get results, or at what point of the campaign? Poland away, you know, the Netherlands match in Utrecht probably came at a good time. Whereas this match is the last game of the campaign. People probably thinking, you know, are we realistically going to Lyon to, try and qualify automatically for the World Cup? Nobody was expecting this. So by the time people know on Friday night that this is a massive, massive game, it's pretty expensive to get here and to stay for the couple of days. So it's not really a major surprise that there's not a huge Irish contingent here.
Yeah. I was reading Carla Ward, I think it was from yesterday, nothing to lose and everything to gain. How will that inform, we were discussing earlier about as to how they might set up this evening, Steve-O, is it the expectation that try and contain for 60, 70 minutes and then go after it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I suppose when you think back to the game against France at Tala Stadium, Ireland got an early goal, 12 minutes, and Katie McCabe scored that one. I suppose it was a real case of trying to batten down the hatches after that, and then France, you know, with about a quarter of the match to go, bring on Melvin Millard, one of the best players in the squad, and she, you know, really causes chaos in the Irish box for the two goals to help them win. So I suppose it's that old thing of do you want to score too early and have to try and defend that kind of winning position? Probably not. But what we've seen from this Irish team, Adrian, I think even with Carla's selections, she's quite a brave but also astute manager. She knows how to put together a game plan to suit the team. I think this Irish team has a shape and a formation that can take this French team on. Like the French team play with inverted wingers. They got a really good squad there, but they play with inverted wingers. And I think that kind of suits this Irish team that plays with a back three and with wing backs, because you've got two defenders on each side. Then naturally you can kind of take on the inverted winger cutting in. But I don't think she'll make too many changes. She tends to stick with the same starting 11, make as few changes as she possibly needs to.
There'll be two Steve, or surely, will there?
Yeah. Well, look, see, the thing is, I think Denise O'Sullivan obviously comes straight back in. She was suspended on Friday night. She'll come back in for Aoisha Littlejohn. Then you're looking at Emily Murphy, who has been the player of the tournament for Ireland, and she has to come back into the team. But it's a case of who does she replace, because Abby Larkin, who came in for Emily Murphy, was sensational on Friday night. And I spoke to my co-commentator, Ciara Grant, yesterday. She was down with the squad. She kind of feels, or she got a sense from Abby Larkin, that she feels she kind of earned a starting place tonight because of her performance, because it was so good. She scored a goal. She got an assist for the other goal. So maybe she could take out Kira Caruso. So it could be Emily Murphy coming in for Kira Caruso with Abby Larkin keeping her place. So that's the kind of one area of the field that I'll be looking at for the starting team tonight. But it's going to be really, really interesting. The French team, by the way, just speaking to the local journalist, it does seem that they'll go with the same team. They started against Poland on Friday. So I wouldn't see any changes there. So we will have Melvin Millard starting the game as opposed to being on the bench when she was at Tallaght Stadium.
That's a big part of the gig, obviously, for Carla Ward, having to make those hard decisions and try and keep everybody as invested in the overall project as you can. Her contract is obviously due up after the World Cup. Mm. They've made moves on the men's side to extend Hamer's contract, clearly. Any chat about it in the background, Stephen, or what's your expectation of how, like, listen, they win tonight, it all becomes very clear. But at this juncture, she has absolutely overachieved. So is there any chat about an extension there?
We haven't heard anything, to be honest. I would imagine, well, I said I'm not too sure whether the meetings that have been taking place the last couple of days in regards to the men's games in the Nations League in September, and that's kind of taking priority at the moment. Mm. But look, my own feeling on it would be that she has absolutely earned an extension to her contract. Whether Carla Ward is going to stay on as well is another issue, because as we know, Hamer Hallgrimsson, pretty much, well, I suppose he was asked to sign the contract before that match against the Czechs, and he did so, even though he had said that he was going to wait. But I would imagine Carla Ward will probably want to sit down and, I suppose, maybe just review the situation herself. Like, she may be hot property for clubs in the UK after what she's achieved with the Ireland team. But that said, if she qualifies for the World Cup, I'm sure she'll want to take the team there next summer. And that's probably when they will have that sit down and discuss whether the contract goes beyond that and into the next European Championship campaign.
Steve-O, does the flatness in the build-up help the Irish team? I mean, like, obviously the girls have torn up there, and obviously France have their eyes on the World Cup at the minute, and it feels a little bit flat. Does that help the Irish rather than the French, just thinking there may be a backdoor in here?
Yeah, perhaps so. Like, this French team, they've been kind of underwhelming over the years. You know, they haven't really shot the lights out in any major tournament. They've gone into a lot of tournaments as, you know, big favourites, or, you know, favourites even to contend. Like the European Championship last year, they went down the quarterfinal penalty shootout against Germany. But like they're one of those teams where they've got a collection of really good players, but they never seem to be able to do it at a major tournament. And I suppose when you even look at the Irish team's performance against them in Tallaght Stadium, like they did struggle against Ireland quite a lot because of the Irish setup. So I suppose maybe the fact that France are expected to win this game tonight, there is that expectancy there. I suppose, you know yourself, Keith, as a former professional, sometimes if you're going into a game kind of expecting to win, subconsciously maybe you're taking the foot off the throttle a little bit. So yeah, absolutely, it could be a help towards Ireland tonight.
Yeah. So the eventualities are, Stephen, a win and that's it. Let's all get our passports out and get ourselves booked in for Rio de Janeiro.
Absolutely. The Copacabana, here we come. Cannot wait.
Failing that, like, it's still a pretty reasonable path. We're into is it two legs of a playoff and two legs of a final? Semi-final and a final.
Exactly, yeah. But because Ireland now have had these good results, we're going to finish at least third in the group. So, the unfortunate thing for Ireland is that even a draw tonight would mean still that they'll probably come third, because the Netherlands, you would imagine, are going to beat Poland in their final game tonight. So, but look, third place is a good seeding in the pot for Ireland for that draw. So definitely a much more favourable draw in the playoffs if that's the route that they take. So, I would be very confident that this Irish team will be going to another World Cup after 2023. So, it's been a brilliant campaign by them, and some, like, incredible performances across the board from all the players. And I know Emily Murphy and Denise Sullivan, Katie McCabe might get some of the headlines, but across the board, it's the likes of, you know, Aoife Mannion, Caitlin Hayes, Chloe Mustaki. There's been so many good performances throughout this group campaign. It's, they've been a real credit to the country.
Yeah, third would feel, it's a credit to them and a serious sign of where they've come from. Third would feel disappointing almost at this stage, which is outrageous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But the thing is, well, like, I think they even knew themselves that if they can keep their spot in Group A, because this is essentially the Nations League, it's being used as a qualifier for the World Cup. But the players in the squad and Carlo Ward knew that if they could keep their place in Group A of the Nations League, that would stand to them in the future as well. So it wasn't just a case of let's qualify for the World Cup or let's get a good place in the playoffs for the World Cup. We've got to stay in Group A to make sure that we are playing the best teams in Europe for the next few years in the Nations League so that they can keep the standards at a very high level with regards to their opposition.
What's going to happen in the game tonight? Now, don't be giving me your, I'm sitting on the fence here, prediction of they have the backup of the playoff. What's going to happen tonight?
Look, I think logically, if you look at the two teams, France should win this game maybe by a goal to nil. But there's something about the momentum of this Irish team. They had good momentum in their last Nations League campaign. They finished it really strongly. I think they've got good momentum from Friday night. Like Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy, two of the best players in the team, are practically fresh legs coming in here. So like with that and an unchanged French team, I didn't think they could win it by a goal. I'm going to say Ireland to win against France 2-1.
Oof, good man. That's the way it sets up for the day. Live commentary on the radio this evening.
Yeah, we're going to be on air from 7 o'clock, myself and Dr. Ciara Grant, Ciara Grant has just retired from playing with Hibernian, her most recent team, former Donegal Gaelic footballer, of course, as well, Ulster champion, among many other things. She won the FAI Cup a couple of times with Heaney United, but look, she's got a bag full of Irish caps as well. Brilliant, brilliant person, Ciara. So she's on to make her commentary debut with us tonight and off the ball. So we should have some, good crack with Ciara tonight on the game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Steve-O, thanks a million.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Steve-O.
Thanks a lot.
Played against Ciara Grant.
Ah.
In underage.
Right.
Yeah. She was in my age group.
Okay.
Growing up, and you know how sometimes the girls would play in boys? She played against us up until, I think, under 15s or something like that.
Stood out?
Oh, brilliant player. Like, she was her team's best player.
All right.
So, I mean, you get that up until the point of, like, the physicality comes into things. You have the best female players playing against the boys, and she was excellent.
Mm.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Somebody was making a point here on the comments about the game last night. Fergus Keogh, good morning to you. The French men's friendly last night was shown on TF1, the biggest channel in France. The Women's World Cup final qualifier. The Women's World Cup qualifier is demoted to France 4, a channel that gets about a 1% market share, which I suppose feeds into the conversation we're having about for the appetite for the game tonight. Anybody see the goals from the France-Northern Ireland game last night?
Elise.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That third one.
Yeah, unbelievable. Elise, like I look at that French team, and I'm sure we'll ask Philippe in a little while. Like, somebody's got to miss out. Dembele. Who have we got? Dembele, Doué, Elise, Cherki, Barcola, and Mbappe. Somebody's got to miss out.
And it ain't going to be Mbappe.
It ain't going to be Elise. The way he's carrying on, you would imagine Dembele is going to be a starter as well. But that's got to be the best front three at the World Cup. Mbappe, Dembele, Elise, and Doué, Champions League winner on the bench.
Mm.
Unbelievable. And even Cherki at Manchester City must be rolling his eyes thinking, what have I got to do to get a game here?
Yeah.
The three in front of him are pretty good.
Yeah, I was looking at...
It's a little unfair, but they have no right to be doing what they're doing.
So...
What does that mean then?
That means we're doing another sweepstake.
Okay.
So we'll do Dara and Matthews.
Okay, very good.
They're in the production box.
Who are we going first?
So we'll go with Dara first.
Oh, he had a cheeky look at what the team is, so, you know.
Don't know if he'll be happy.
Oh, he's not going to be happy.
Oh.
Korea Republic.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear the drones.
I heard something.
He's not happy with that one. All right, let's get Matthews.
I love the way he's keeping the list here beside him in like seated versus unseated in some sort of UEFA FIFA style, like as if this is
this
sort of some transparency
draw.
Before the aircon kicks in and blows them all off the table.
Croatia. Ooh, Matthew.
Yeah?
Yeah, nice.
I mean, their team has a combined age of about 55, but...
Mm. Yeah, Modric is still going strong, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they're the two seeded teams. Do you want to give them the unseeded?
Oh, yeah. Why
not?
I was going to do the unseeded in the background, so not to disrupt the show too much.
No, keep going.
So this is Dara's. Dara's not good. That's a decent enough unseeded team for Dara. Tunisia.
Probably as good as a seeded team.
You'd be doing well to get your fiver off of Dara.
And then for Matthew, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I don't think the lads are going to be hugely happy with that, but sure, like...
That's you're living the dream, aren't you?
I'm so far
there.
I'm happy out.
Realistically, there's only about three sides that have a chance of winning this tournament, right? We've got like France, Spain and Brazil, probably the three.
England?
England have no chance.
You wouldn't mind getting England?
England have no chance.
No, but as a for our sweepstake purposes, I wouldn't be too disappointed. It'd also ease the pain a little bit. I was talking last week about the mini World Cup, but our under 10 mini World Cup, and I found myself in the middle of one of the games going, come on, England! And then going, whoa, Jesus, what happened there? Who's that?
Can't be saying
who
that.
Who said that? It was England v Ireland in the final.
Yeah, but see, I think unless England win it, you're going to feel short-changed because you're on one of the favourites. And if they don't win it, you're thinking, they haven't done well. But if you're an underdog and you get a bit of mileage out of them, do you think there's a chance
England are going to win?
No, I think the heat will kill them. No, and they'll implode. Like Bellingham might not start and get his lip out.
They have enough quality.
Oh, they do, but...
And do they not have a manager now who, you know, can unplug from all the madness?
Yeah,
I just don't
think they have a 90-minute performance, you know, run after teams. I just think the South Americans, the French, the Spanish just won't be as affected as much as the English win. And
Harry Kane could win the Golden Boot again.
And again, that's... When we speak about England having a chance, if I said to you, Harry Kane does his hamstring in the first game...
Well, that's them done.
It goes. So you're not calling them... Or I'm personally not calling them a one-man team, but if Harry Kane comes out of that team... Yeah. They've got no chance, and I think they're very close to having no chance as it is.
Wow.
It's going to be fun to watch them implode again.
It always is,
because
isn't it?
We were speaking about this with John Bruin yesterday. Like, it's amazing how quickly the press turns in England, because they learned their lesson for Russia, for the Russian World Cup, where they had no expectations going into it. It was a young team. It was actually probably a more talented team than this one. Yet the expectations on this team are higher. Mm. But what's probably favourable from the England perspective, and maybe it helps the players too, is that if there's anybody who's going to be the scapegoat of this, the easiest one is the old enemy, the German manager that they've got. So that's the out card that all the players have. They know they won't get any blame for anything that happens at this World Cup. It's all going to fall on Thomas Tuchel.
Do you want to come in here and say that? Dara, producer Dara has just been in the ear there. Few expletives were used about South Korea. He's not happy, needless to say.
About drawing South Korea, we should say. He hasn't been disparaging the people of South Korea.
And Matthew has pointed out that he who drew Croatia is actually off to Croatia this week. I was just having a look at their odds there because it started to dawn on me that actually they might not be a million miles off the mark. I mean, they're not a million miles off the mark. Rough maths here, they're about 12th or... No, maybe more than that. Maybe 18th favourites, around 80-1. They give you a bit of a run.
Yeah, I think you'll get your money's worth out of Croatia.
Morocco are 50-1. To answer your earlier question.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
An African team have never won the World Cup, though, have they?
You've Spain, France, England, Portugal, my boys, Brazil, then Argentina, and then you're into your Germany's, your Netherlands,
Germany.
your Haaland's Norway. And then Belgium.
Yeah. There has to be a couple of fallers, doesn't there, for Belgium to become a trip?
There does. I like that terminology. So we'll do a bit more of that before the show is done. Do keep the comments coming into us. 087-9180-180. We're on YouTube as well, so we can get stuck into all that. We do the papers, or have we...
We have 5 minutes.
You give us direction here and take...
Will we talk about the elephant in the papers for 5 minutes? The...
Cricket.
Ireland game.
Let's give people a flavour, and we will 100% get to that. So the Irish Examiner, to begin with, they do lead with the Ireland chasing World Cup dream, and a picture of a diving Courtney Brosnan here during training at the Stade des Alpes in Grenoble. yesterday, and they take a stab at the teams here. It's John Fallon who's over at the game, and he has Caruso, Murphy and O'Sullivan all in the team, Connolly and also midfield, and Shiva there as well. That Limerick flag plant will come up in Cork discussions, that's for sure, says Patrick Horgan. Did you see this, Keith? So the end of the Munster hurling final at the weekend, one of the Limerick players goes out onto the pitch, a la Graeme Souness, although it's been pointed out very rightly by Owen on the show last night, it wasn't really a full Graeme Souness, you know, it wasn't an empty pitch or a half empty pitch where he runs out onto the pitch and, like, do you remember that in the
Galatasaray,
Istanbul,
was it?
Yeah.
Istanbul.
And he sticks the flag in the middle of the pitch. It was like kind of more of a half-hearted effort, you know, it's not really a full stab into the ground, but he does plant a Limerick flag on Páirc Uí Chaoimh, on the Páirc Uí Chaoimh pitch, which will be seen, obviously, as a kind of a two fingers up to Cork. This is our territory.
I bet that went down really well.
It was in the pitch for about 0.5 seconds. And I think the fact that it didn't stick in.
Yeah, well, Patrick Horgan is like one of the all-time greats of Cork hurlers, retired at the end of last season. That his article in the Examiner, that Limerick flag plant will come up in Cork discussions. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, managers always do that. I remember playing for Blackburn's, Sam Allardyce's Blackburn team. I think we were playing Hull, and I think the manager of Hull might have been Phil Brown, and he basically said Blackburn are a basketball team. Everybody's 6 foot six. The ball never hits the ground, and just criticised us basically. But the day we were due to play Hull, plastered all over the dressing room as little bits of inspiration. Yeah, saying you're a basketball team, you don't play football. I think we actually got beat 1-0 the opening day of the season.
Who was the manager?
It was Sam Allardyce, was the Blackburn manager. Sam Allardyce.
Oh, sorry, who was it?
I think it was Phil Brown.
Oh, sorry, you did say that.
I think, but yeah, we ended up getting beaten anyway, but yeah, it was plastered all over the dressing room as a bit of fuel, and yeah, maybe they were right in the end because they beat us.
Did the bits come off the wall? Like, they were literally put on the wall.
Yeah, literally, and just ripped out of paper, plastered all over.
And by the time you come in at full time, somebody says, get those off.
Yeah, get them off. That's backfired. Get those all off.
We don't need to be looking at that.
I am fascinated by things like that, though. Like, is Sam Allardyce doing that arts and crafts in his office in preparation for the game? Like, does he
I know, he would have given the nod, plastered that everywhere, and the young apprentices would have had to go and do the heavy lifting, but... You know, I love all that stuff. Any little percentage or any sort of bad blood you can introduce into the game, I think it's always a brilliant motivator.
Everybody knows it's BS, but we just need to buy into it a little bit now. Is that the way that works, or is there no cynicism about it at all?
Oh, no, there's always, yeah. Like, I think players will believe any manager, if the manager starts going down that route and you buy into it. I mean, Sean Dyche could have told me, you know, water is dry, and I'd have just believed the man because of the way he carried on, but... Yeah, when managers start saying, you know, they talk about you wrong, they don't give you your props, they think you're a basketball team, they don't think you're good enough, you start to believe it and you develop a little bit of an edge towards that team. And yeah, I always had little personal battles all over the pitch. I think that's the way I had to play football, just to get myself to the level and necessary, you know, required output.
Emotional pitch, Keith, if we were rugby players here, that's what we'd be describing it as.
Yeah, and I think emotional the best pitch. Managers will tune in on that and think, well, this is what Keith needs. I'll give him a little bit of fuel for the fire, and other players need an arm around them, but I needed some kindling to get me going.
Yeah, good way to describe it. Nothing to lose, says the Irish Independent today. Jessie Stapleton works on her shooting during training yesterday, and Ireland just 90 minutes away from Brazil World Cup ahead of France / rights. David Kelly in Grenoble there. Have a huge amount of sympathy for Ger, says McCaffrey. This is Frank Roach. Jack McCaffrey can completely sympathise with Ger Brennan's publicly vented frustration over how his disciplinary case was dealt with. And then Dan McDonald, Ireland v Israel clash to be moved to neutral venue, it says here, and there was a statement obviously from the FAI about this yesterday, but Dan writes that the FAI are in the process of finalising a decision to move the contentious October 4th Nations League encounter with Israel to a neutral venue, which would appear to be in Hungary. He says it's understood that David Carell, the CEO, has informed the gathering that he was 60-40 in favour of a neutral venue. Does this remove the sting from all this thing, or does it just move it elsewhere?
Kind of moves it elsewhere, and it moves it on to being more of a sporting story as well, because, I mean, we spoke about the morality of this game in depth on the show multiple times at this stage, but in terms of like the sporting context of this, essentially what is now happening is Ireland have an away game, which should be a home game, And I presume that the reason that it's in Hungary is that Hungary is the only country that will take this fixture, but Israel have been playing their home games in Hungary for the last year or two. So essentially Ireland have forfeited home advantage here to play in a stadium that Israel have been playing their home games. So this is a competitive game. Like, this isn't just like a meaningless friendly. So in my eyes, I see this as UEFA and FIFA are okay with fairness being tossed out the window here when it comes to this fixture, because I guess they're saying that, you know, this is the bed that Ireland have made, taking a stance on the Israel situation. So I don't know where sporting integrity comes into it. Should Ireland have to forfeit home advantage in this game? Could they not play it behind closed doors in Ireland? Is that not the same as Ireland forfeiting a home advantage game?
Well, it's difficult to know the exact answer to that, because it feels like they're trying to get on board with some version of a protest, effectively. Mm. So what's the biggest... I think what will be seen in the court of public opinion as being the most right thing to do here. Would that be behind closed doors on Irish soil? Or will people feel more aggrieved that, you know, the Israel flag and the Israel team will be playing here? Or do we just move it somewhere else, out of sight, out of mind? And it's the better of all the options. I'm not saying that's the right thing, but I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
Mm. Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think we all know the answer. The answer is the game shouldn't be getting played on any level, at any stadium, in any country throughout the world. It just shouldn't be getting played. I understand there's been, you know, I'm not sure what the repercussions of Ireland don't play against Israel will be, but I'm fairly sure they will be heavy handed. Euro 2028 is just around the corner. Will that be taken off the table as one of the hosts? That would really hurt Ireland moving forward, Irish football moving forward.
I think this might be they would probably view, do you mean in the context of the Hungary game?
No, or I mean, if they
don't play it, okay.
Yeah, if we don't play that, I believe.
So this will be seen as a bit of a workaround for that.
Yeah, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, and playing that game against Israel for me is wrong. The fact that Seamus Coleman is having to comment on it is absolutely ridiculous. The fact that UEFA, FIFA have dodged this, and now the Irish government that dodged it, and now it's at the feet of the players and the FAI, is absolutely baffling to me. I mean, poor Hamer has to come out nearly every press conference and say, you know, it's not my decision. It isn't his decision. He will do what he's told, and people will say, well, he should make a stand. Football managers, football players aren't politicians. And you can't, I mean, when I grew up playing on the streets of Dublin and thinking all I wanted to do was play for my country, and now you're telling me that, you know, it's such a muddy, muddy water for footballers, and footballers don't live in this real world. And I'm not saying they're not clued in and you don't know what's happening, but on a day-to-day basis, they get up, they go to the training ground, they go back, and they, you know, live in their mansions. It's a very, very detached world from the one that we live in. So this shouldn't be going anywhere near the footballers, and personally, the game shouldn't be getting played.
The mirror goes with, Ward, are we waiting for? As in, what are we waiting for? Arlen Gaffer Carroll, I can't wait to get her teeth in France, and issues a rallying call. Ericsson's thanks to Implant in Heart. Kristen Eriksen credited his heart implant for protecting me when I needed it, as he was discharged from hospital. That's in the mirror. The Sun. A win in Grenoble will be this big. Carla Ward with her arms outstretched ahead of that game tonight, 8 o'clock. A kickoff our time. The show must go on. Mary Lou McDonald has her say on that Ireland-Israel game. The Daily Mail, stuck in neutral, FAI insists call will be theirs as Israel game set to move, writes Mark Gallagher. Ward, we can go and shock the world. And it's Amber Barrett and Katie McCabe there, having a bit of a laugh at training during the week. And Robertson told, do it for Diogo, writes Frank Kent here. Diogo Jota's widow has urged Andy Robertson to live the World Cup dream on behalf of his former teammate. Plenty doing the rounds on social media on that one. The Irish Times has Ireland dare to dream once more with the place in Brazil up for grabs. Ruaisha Littlejohn in her bare feet at the pitch yesterday. How the beautiful game is now costing the US. Dave Hannigan in residence, obviously, in the US. And I think the last one we'll do for now, because there's a good, big, juicy cricket story that we might get into a bit later on. But for now, we'll leave it here with the Star, which is Let's Make History. Carla Ward juggling the ball in her head there. Ward says Ireland can realise dream ahead of that game tonight. More on Christian Eriksen, more on Ger Brennan that we touched on a little bit earlier as well. So all of that to come in just a little bit. So are we moving on?
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Football on Off the Ball.
We've always believed within this team, and look, we've learned the hard way sometimes, but look, we've got ourselves here, so we're focused on going out and, you know, making it a really competitive game, and hopefully we can come out on top.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.